I'm Silas Farley, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Hear the Dance. In this episode, we will explore the choreography of William Forsythe, who has been one of the leading innovators in the field of dance for the past 50 years. Forsythe, affectionately known as Bill, is widely regarded as one of the dance makers who has stretched the art of ballet to the next phase of its evolution in the generation after Balanchine. Bill's works investigate the multifaceted possibilities of movement, extending the physical, expressive, and intellectual capacities of his many collaborators in the world of dance, music, the visual arts, and beyond. His choreography continues to invigorate the bodies and minds of dancers and audiences all over the world. Bill first came to New York City Ballet in 1988 to choreograph for the company's epic American Music Festival, curated by City Ballet's then Ballet Master-in-Chief, Peter Martins. For that event, Bill made Behind the China Dogs to music by Leslie Stuck. Bill returned to City Ballet in 1992 to make another new work. That ballet, entitled Herman Schmerman, will serve as the centerpiece of our consideration of his work. The title Herman Schmerman comes from a line in Steve Martin's 1982 film Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. In its original form, the ballet was set for five dancers to an electronic music score by Tom Willems with sleek costumes by Gianni Versace. Bill then added a pas de deux for this ballet when he staged it for his Ballet Frankfurt, where he served as director for 20 years. In 1993, Bill brought that new pas de deux into the City Ballet production of Herman Schmerman. Either the pas de deux by itself or the full ballet have remained in City Ballet's active repertory ever since. I recently sat down with two members of this ballet's original cast, Juilliard professor Jeff Edwards and City Ballet associate artistic director Wendy Whalen, and one of the ballet's current interpreters, City Ballet principal dancer Tyler Peck. We discussed Bill's reverence for and fascination with Balanchine's choreography and aesthetic, how working with Bill was a transformative experience for each of my guests, especially Tyler Peck, and the project they made together called The Bar Project, and how my guests' relationships with Bill have continued to nourish their vocations in dance. What comes through so clearly is how Bill respects dancers and the delight he has in working with them. We will hear about many of these dancer artists, including Kira Nichols, Ethan Stiefel, Margaret Tracy, Melinda Roy, Noah Gelber, Kevin O'Day, Maria Karowski, Tyler Engel, and Roman Mejia, and two remarkable dance artists who have since passed away, Tracy K. Meyer Forsythe and Albert Evans. Let's listen in. Jeff Edwards, Wendy Whalen, Tyler Peck, welcome to the Hear the Dance podcast. Such a joy to have you all here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You all bring such a wealth of knowledge about this ballet, Herman Schmerman. Wendy and Jeff being members of the original cast, Tyler being one of the current interpreters of the ballet, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your stories and your vast understanding and experience with this particular ballet. But I wanted to start with you, Jeff. You were in the original cast of the first piece that Bill Forsythe made at New York City Ballet, Behind the China Dogs, to music of Leslie Stuck for the 1988 American Music Festival. And where were you at that point in your career when you first came to work with Bill?
Well, I have to say, working with Bill on that particular ballet was one of the most thrilling experiences of my life. At that time, he had just finished making In the Middle Somewhat Elevated on the Paris Opera with Sylvie Guillem. So the whole ballet world was all abuzz. And we had seen a few videos. And to be working with him when he was getting especially excited about the ballet vocabulary again, and he's had many periods in his life, as when he worked with Tyler on the Bar Project, where he sort of always comes back to classical ballet. So that was a period when he was really going there, obviously, and we were the beneficiaries. And he was so jazzed. Bill has such an excitement and respect for New York City Ballet, because as a young Joffrey dancer, he used to come to watch performances all the time. And a lot of his foundational technique and inspiration is Balanchine. So him coming into this house at that time in his career, he was both buzzed and also a little bit intimidated, admittedly. He said, you know, at one point he got choreographer's block because he had so much respect for this environment. Mm. But he was so inspired, and we were so incredibly inspired to be working with him at the height of his abilities. And it was a life-changing experience.
Wow. And what were some of your initial impressions or reactions to his movement vocabulary as he started to mold the steps on you all?
Well, it seemed extreme, and I have to say I had a flashback to wondering if some of the very early New York City Ballet dancers, maybe coming from Petipa or Cicchetti training, working with Balanchine for the first time and seeing how he expanded the vocabulary in terms of eating up space and size and speed. And it was sort of like that. He blew our minds. Like, is that physically possible? I mean, he was still at the height of his physical ability, so he could demonstrate. And it was very hard to pick up the material because his body was on fire. And he was also creatively on fire. So it was such an exchange of energy and creativity and his curiosity and passion and also a sort of casualness because he felt so much like we could talk to him about anything. We would go out to dinner with him after rehearsals. Mm. And it was a real exchange of ideas. We felt so invested, and he just brought out the best in all of us.
That is fantastic. Could you share with us about how the audience received that piece and maybe a little bit about how you felt getting that first Forsyth piece on the stage here at City Ballet?
Well, again, right before the premiere, he had choreographer's block, and he wasn't sure he could finish the piece. And it was a long piece. I think it was almost 40 minutes long. And we started working in Washington, D.C. I was the first dancer to go into the studio with him when he arrived in D.C. when we were on tour. And so that was a thrill. But he had made all this material and then threw it away. And so a couple of days before the premiere, he said, do you remember any of that material we did way back in D.C.? I said, yes, I remember all of it. So we got into a studio and put that together and somehow finished the piece literally before the curtain, which he loves. He loves that edge. He often changes things. I'm sure you've experienced this, to keep it fresh. And again, very Balanchinian. He wanted it to be in the moment and spontaneous and not set, not staged, not too comfortable. So yeah, that was thrilling and scary. But we definitely felt the energy of the crowd. They were seeing something that they had never seen before as a New York audience. And I have to say, when I watched one of the early performances of The Runway, I was sitting way up in the cheap seats, and I saw this energy coming across the stage from the dancers in Kyle Abraham's piece. And I had a flashback of that's how we felt, like new vocabulary, new inspiration. And I saw all of those dancers. I saw something else coming across the footlights. And it was a literal flashback. Like, that's how we felt because it was so different and so transformative.
That's beautiful. And Wendy, I want to ask you, you were in the company at the time when Bill was doing Behind the China Dogs. What was the kind of energy buzz around this piece that the other dancers knew was in the work?
We were all so jealous. We were so jealous of what was going on in that studio. And I remember being on the stairwell entering the theater, and I passed by Billy at the time, and I was like, I'm so excited for your piece. You're so amazing. And I was just like, oh. And then he didn't know who I was. But then I got thrown into it. I had to learn it in 4 days. I got thrown into Melinda Roy. And I was literally in this practice room with Jeff and Albert for 4 days straight learning it. And then I went out there and I blanked out. And of course, I did a sauté. Why not do a sauté in a Forsyth piece? Because that's like the exact thing you're not supposed to do. But it was absolute thrill. And the audience went cuckoo bananas. And I can never forget Jeff's movement in that ballet. And you being the starting point for Forsyth. We all kind of got it. We were like, of course, Jeff is like just ready for this material. And that it was going to come through your body first felt correct. And then just you're so etched in my mind just how you shape-shifted through that piece in that costume with those shorts and the socks and the vest, and you were just such a cool guy, such a cool dancer, and just I'll never forget. And then getting to dance it with you, I felt like I was feeding on what you were, because you really embodied it, like kind of almost more than anybody. I felt at that time, you were just the most ready and open and just feeling like I could drink from your drink because you were like right next to me, and I was, and all of that just, we all opened each other up. Jeff helped open that quality up, in, yeah, for me. So
that's so generous of you to say, Wendy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it was such a collective experience, and in order to get through that ballet, we had to feed on each other's energy, because right from the get-go, it was like 0 to 60.
Yeah,
the score was bowling balls being dropped, a Webern concerto, dogs barking. Like, it was a very unusual score that was hard to parse out, but it really propelled us.
And then, man,
but
got
I
to
remember
the jeebies.
Getting and Louis Armstrong.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was just like,
But it was so exhausting. I remember getting dry heaves, like just so embodied, and we wouldn't have been able to get through it if it weren't for that sort of feeding off of each other and the audience, because we did feel their palpable excitement. It was, I think they
roared,
as I
remember.
The sounds,
the lights, the costumes, the sweat, the quality of the movement. It was so new, and it felt so American in that collective way of these ideas. Just put it all together, and then we're doing something new.
And yet connected to our past, because of Bill's incredible reverence for Balanchine, not in a way that was traditional, but he took that and really went somewhere new with it. Again, I think of Petipa to Balanchine. So, you know, we felt that. He was speaking our language, but then stretching it and breaking it apart and reassembling it in a way that was so challenging and so thrilling and pushed our instruments to the limit.
Where were you both then in your careers? 4 years later, 1992, Bill comes back to make his second piece, Herman Schmerman, and both you, Jeff, and Wendy are involved in that.
Jeff and I mean, I was right behind you in school, and we got into company same time, had a huge crush on Jeff, you know, always.
Mutual.
Oh, you did not. No, but we were all, like, kind of enamored with Jeff, and you were doing great things, and we had just been promoted to soloist around China Dogs.
Yeah.
And in between, and then we were doing a lot of ballets. We were doing a lot of principal roles at the time.
And a lot of new work.
New work.
We were both getting chosen a ton for almost every new creation.
We were extremely ripe, Jeff and I, at that time. Physically young, open, and again...
Hungry.
I was, I thought, in my generation of people, Jeff led an open-minded curiosity perspective for us to follow. And I feel like it was you led a different path, and it was all about process for you. You were not about being a star. You were like, feed me. I want to learn and I want to try things. And to be an admirer and a colleague at that time, just a little younger, you were like the headlights of a new vehicle.
That's so gratifying to hear. I have to say, though, we had so much new work to feed on. We were so fortunate. I mean, the American Music Festival, what was it, 22 world premieres in 3 weeks? I mean, how often does that happen?
And like Laura Dean? I mean, like, really far out.
Very
people were
disparate styles.
Ballet and real modern.
And we didn't have time to really, you know, talk about process. Like, we were just in it. And it was such a creative time for the company in terms of what it was tackling. It was almost unachievable.
Could y'all say a little word about that American Music Festival and what it was?
It was this patchwork of current choreographers at their prime, but it was like a really vast array of quality. I mean, high quality, but like modern, contemporary ballet. It was like every kind of voice speaking on what they wanted to say about dance and picking American composers to play with and really pulling new talent out. I remember I felt like I was chosen by Laura Dean to be in space, this Steve Reich piece. And she was, it was mostly a core piece. Hmm. We were making all these patterns and I was leading all the lines and I just felt so honored. Like she was like, Wendy, you start this pattern out. I felt like it was my first opportunity at that time in 88. I had just gotten in like 2 years before, but I was like leading this Steve Reich music.
Intense.
Yeah. And all this weird, but very energized, very propulsive movement. And it was the first time I experienced the idea of myself being a modern dancer. Hmm. And I was kind of scared that somebody thought I was a modern dancer. It's like, no, I'm a ballet dancer. Hmm. Why do you think I'm a modern dancer? You know, like it was a bad thing, but Peter was letting that in. Hmm. And I think we were all like, okay, we're going there.
And you realized you could do it all. The repertory really was just expanding to be so much broader. And now it's even more broad in terms of stylistic vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Tyler, tell us about how you feel like stretching your
Tyler,
artistic capabilities so broadly in so many different kinds of work. Exactly.
Tyler's like our baby.
Yeah.
She's the exactly what we were all trying to make at that time. And now she can do it all, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what's funny is very early on, I remember Peter actually asking me, like, because I, like you too, when new choreographers would come, I was pretty much in every new work. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was that they saw that I could do, but I was in pretty much every new ballet. And he said to me once, who's the choreographer you would most want to work with? And I was like, I don't know if I was in the core, and I said, Bill Forsythe, like without hesitation. And I honestly don't even know why, because I hadn't been able to see that many of his works. You know, I had seen certain things on video, and but there was just something that I thought, oh, my God, I really want to work with this man. Yeah. So when I finally got the opportunity, I kind of didn't even know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. I, of course, felt more comfortable in those types of movements more than ballet, actually. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little bit longer to appreciate the classical ballet aesthetic more than the new works because I just felt so comfortable because I grew up kind of doing all kinds of dance. So in the new works, I felt like, oh, this is me, you know?
It's your comfort zone.
Yeah, and I loved being pushed and challenged and I had no fear. But, you know, like with something like Herman Schmerman, I remember only seeing Wendy do this. You know, like Wendy was just in my head in this pas de deux, and it was something that I just thought was the coolest thing ever, but never imagined ever that I would ever do it because to me, I thought it was more about, you know, like the lines and this and that. And then Maria did it later. And so I thought, oh, it's just going to be like tall. And so when I was called to rehearsal for the first time, I was so confused. I was like, I must be learning one of
the quintet.
But then I was called with just a partner. So I thought, I don't know. So I didn't really know until the first day. And then when I finally, you know, got enough courage to ask Bill, because now I call him Bill. I think he was Billy and then Bill to me. Yeah, he's like Grandpa Bill to me. But he said, well, I don't know why you wouldn't think you're perfect for it. To me, it's all about musicality. And in my head, I had just never thought that that was what I loved about it, you know, it is what I loved about watching you do it. But I just thought, oh, I'm just so not like, I don't have Wendy's ability.
We always think we always lock ourselves into an idea. And that's what Bill does. He destroys your mold. And he's like, oh, no, but you have this.
Yeah.
Right.
But it sounds like at each point he was expanding all of your capacities and that the common denominator with the three of you is that you were also willing, you were into it, you wanted to
be stretched.
I've heard people say this about balancing. Sometimes these people see things in dancers that they haven't found yet in themselves. Maybe the audience hasn't seen that. Mm-hmm. But there's a trust and a probing that sort of allows that to break open.
Yeah.
And just having someone in front of the room that gives you that confidence and, you know, it's the most freeing, empowering experience. Mm-hmm. And the results are really exciting because of that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I also agree with how you were saying he has so much respect for Balanchine. You know, I think the thing he always tells me is he saw me do Theme and Variations. And that was the moment that he was like, I want to work with her. Mm-hmm. And it was something so classical. But in a way, I don't think that ballet to me is classical. Like, I love dancing Theme more than anything. And then normally tutu ballets, like, frighten me. Mm-hmm. But something about Balanchine's choreography doesn't feel like that. And he would say he watched Theme and Variations in Concerto Barocco, like, every day while he was making his ballet at Paris Opera. He just loved the structure and the ins and the outs. So it's really fun to get into a conversation with him and just... He loves, he's a nerd about ballet too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
His husband. In fact, when he was making Behind the China Dogs, Raimonda Variations was being performed at City Ballet. And it was your role, Wendy. Do you remember that assemblée en pointe arabesque croisé? Do you remember that moment in the solo? But it's a total riff on that amazing assemblée en pointe. So just one tiny example of how he's drawing inspiration directly and then taking it, stretching it even further.
Mm-hmm. I'd love that. Now, when he comes back in 1992 to make Herman Schmerman, what did you feel about that, Wendy? Were you thrilled, like, now I get to work with him? Or what were you feeling at that point?
Just like what Tyler said about Theme, after he had created the quintet, he stayed around like a week or so later. And I was making my debut in Symphony in C, Second Movement. And he saw that show. And... grace of God, I had a really good show. he was in the wing at the end of the ballet, and he just took me, and he just said, I wasn't sure before this that you were a ballerina. He's like, but now I know you are, and I want you to do the pas de deux when I bring it back. After I make it, you're going to do it. And I was like, Symphony in C to Herman Schmerman. Yeah. Okay. But that was the same thing. Mm. And so... Wow. So I knew it was coming. He hadn't made it yet, obviously, because this was in, like, June of 92.
Yeah.
So he came back Christmas time or early winter, and they were setting it on me. And Tracy was there, who he had originally made it on, and she really helped me unload, like, questions and start from here, you know, and start from there. Because it was, I mean... Herman Schmerman, the quintet, was a challenge for us all. We were in the studio at that point 6 hours a day with him as he made that. It was all day Forsyth workshop for making that. Wow. That's all we did. Jeff was very confident and comfortable in the movement. He helped us to understand it. But for all the rest of us, we were all pretty much new to his process of making.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like learning another language in your body. And Herman Schmerman, the duet, for me, was... even more of that because it was just like right out there. But I remember him saying, you're learning Swan Lake right now too. And I was learning that for the winter, a debut. And he said, this is Swan Lake. He's like, check those arms, open that chest, twist that body, you know, use that neck. And I was like, oh, okay. So he was constantly contrasting the qualities of the classical and his work and saying, it's all in here. It's just pulled. And it's just open and it's twisted and it's torqued in it, but it's the same thing. And I'm so grateful for that time with Tracy.
Yeah.
Because she was not well at the time. And she was going to pass soon. And I got like the last bit of really like sister hand me down from her that in that process.
Wow.
And it was with Kevin O'Day.
That's right.
Kevin O'Day. Wow. Kevin had done it in Frankfurt, and he was in the States now. And he's like, you're going to do it with Kevin. And Albert's going to learn it, you know, maybe for later. But so I did it with Kevin. And Kevin was very confident and comfortable and in the movement, too. So
an amazing partner.
And that helped. And he was my best friend's boyfriend at the time. And so it just felt like he was like a brother.
Yeah.
But I do remember the premiere of the performance, and thinking, how the heck do I warm up for this ballet? Like, I literally was like, I have no idea how to warm up for this ballet. And I was like on my side of entry, and I'm looking at Kevin on the other side. I'm like, what's he doing? And I was like, he's jumping up onto stools and jumping down. He was like doing like the weirdest
parkour.
And I'm like, is that how you warm up for Herman Schmerman? So I didn't know. I was literally like jumping into cold water. Like I had no idea how it was going to go. I did not fully understand it through in my body yet. I needed to do it for a year to really understand it and let it go. Because I was like, ballet. So I didn't know how to drop my weight down or, you know, like just really feel the freedom to like whip hips. And it was started to come. And I was like, oh, I could put that hip. I can almost dislocate that joint there. I felt like a flower, like literally opening up in this. And through that, that went into every ballet I did after that. And it completely changed my trajectory in life and world and love, how I wanted to move, how I felt. And I was thinking before this that it was like China Dogs and Herman Schmerman. It was like new adjectives were entering my body, new punctuation. It's like, oh, I can put that exclamation point there. And I can really dot, dot, dot that. You know, and I was like playing with like voice and articulating a word and giving it color and this and that and shaping. And it was like the first time I ever felt like a badass. I was like, oh, I can be a ballerina. I can be a badass at the same time. And I'd never felt that before. And I was just like, thank God. This feels so good.
So satisfying.
Yeah.
Because of sort of being stretched in that way. Like, I remember having a hard time with speed. I was more comfortable in lyricism.
Yeah.
But with Bill, like the idea to take movement to the end of the movement range and to, to feel that sort of natural rebound and where that takes you, I mean, that can be such a source of speed and like good batterie. Yeah. You can't sort of muscle it. You've got to let it flutter. And so
and the opposition.
There are so many in opposition,
which we
right? The
didn't
definition
always focus
of epaulement.
On.
I mean, Bill is epaulement personified, but I'd never taken it that far and then seen where it goes from there. So the sculpting, the extremes, the coordination. Like I thought I knew coordination until he was pushing the opposition of the body to new levels.
Wow.
And just a little chronology there. So he came in 92, and he made what's now the quintet part of Herman Schmerman. And that was you, Jeff, and Wendy, and Kira Nichols, and Margaret Tracy, and Ethan Stiefel.
Yeah.
And that's when the 6 hours a day, diving into that. Can we talk a little bit about that piece of it? And then because then it's later that this whole amazing season of transformation with you happened, where he then adds this pas de deux. But can we kind of roll it back a little bit and just talk about what that making of the quintet portion was like for both of you?
I have to say that was my wild child year. Like I was like
92.
I was very much exploring like being wild. And I'm not a wild person, but like if I was going to ever have a wild time, it was 1992. And I was like just being bad and like staying up late and like hanging out with the wrong people and stuff like that. And then going into 6 hours with Jeff and Bill in the studio and trying to take this all in, and it was, you know, very intimidating, and it was like puzzle, all day puzzle, and then just crazy at night. And like, what I remember was just being like really like kind of growing up in exploding kind of way, like a little bit of, you know, most people do that in their teens. I was doing it in my 20s. So it was just like, but I was like, and I was getting kind of louder physically in just rebelling in a little bit of a way. But I was never like a rebel. But for Wendy level rebel, that was my time. And it came at the same time.
Wendy, I have to say, you were always a rebel in your own way because you approached ballet and your interpretation of everything in a very personal and unique way that gave license to a lot of people to explore their own personal inclinations. So I looked at you that way all the way through because you danced differently, you poured abroad differently, you rolled through, like you really set a different kind of standard with individuality within the company. And you redefined just one example of what it is to be a Balanchine ballerina, as you have too, Tyler, in a very different direction. And so I think that is the continuing of the tradition, because when I look at the Balanchine ballerinas from before, they are all such incredible individuals, and he loved that. He was not fixated on body type or doing it in one way. It was the individual expression that fascinated him and the way that everyone had their own perfume. And it was really that essence that inspired him and inspired his work. And so I think Forsyth, in a way, is like yet another chapter. I mean, he's so many things to so many people in his different places in which he's worked. He's transformed Boston Ballet in his deep work with them. Obviously, Frankfurt Ballet, you know, is its own animal, San Francisco. But individuality is really part and parcel of who Bill is and what he imparts to his dancers. And I've never had that, talk about agency, the confidence to really explore that side of myself and my own dancing. And I felt so unbelievably expressive and free, yet with parameters. It wasn't go out there and just make something up and improvise and hopefully it's good. It was so structured and rigorous. And so that's where you get that tension of pushing the boundaries within a very specific vocabulary, but really breaking the rules in a way that's, I think, thrilling for us and therefore, go back to Kyle's piece. Like, I saw that on stage in a very different way. Like, new chapter. And there it is. And I see dancers dancing differently in a way that keeps the art form alive.
Bill did tap into y'all's unique movement qualities as he made the ballet. And could you talk a little bit more about what were some of the breakthroughs that y'all found in your technique, in your artistic expression, and your stagecraft as you worked out that quintet in those 6 hours a day? And you were talking a little bit too about épaulement, just like some of the stretching of the technique.
A lot of it was based on the waltz, and that sounds so simple, but I remember him asking me to improvise on the step of the waltz. And how much more can you do? Like one, two, three, one. Like, okay, I got that.
The
where do you go? Yes.
Wow.
And there was a part downstage right, I have a clear memory of just having to improvise with waltz as my directive. But again, simplicity, but pushing it to an extreme and being next to Ethan, like he was the wunderkind.
Articulation.
Like so alive in his energy, and his body was just so energetic, and his technical capacity was over the top.
You two were so, like boy animal brothers.
We were and so
different.
They were,
yeah.
You know, and so unbelievably different. So that was exciting in terms of pushing each other in different directions. And just to go deeper with Bill and yet another creative process, it was, you know, another thrilling chapter.
He really wanted to work with Kira Nichols. Like, I remember him being like, I really want to work with this dancer, Kira. And so I remember it was like we were all a little bit younger than Kira. She was like this queen in the middle, boom, boom, you know, and it was just like, and so we were all like, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? Because we were like,
in a way, we were all students again. And Bill is the ultimate example of being a perpetual student. I remember going to a lecture with him downtown. Cilia Ipiotis was doing like an Ion Dance reunion. He stayed the longest talking to all the students. He didn't want to leave.
I was one of those students.
You were there.
I was at that talk about Behind the China Dogs.
That kind of, like, I feel like it equalizes the room because, you know, it's not about status or what you've done to that point. It's about where are we taking this thing? And that's so exciting, right? And so democratic, but it's so much more than that because, like, there's no intimidation. There's no, it's just about the work.
Yeah.
It was a philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going to university. And we were like, whoa, we can think like this. And we can move forward as adults like this. Adult dancers and think this way. So it was a mind-bending, mind-altering, and definitely a shift, kind of a break through to 21st century ballet for us.
Just in the way he was inviting you all to think and engage.
Yeah, it was like no one else we'd ever work with before. And it was, and like Jeff said, it wasn't like top-down in that way. It was like, let's explore this together. Idea. Jeff, make a waltz on this. You know, like, come up with, you improvise here. And, like, even in Herman Schmerman at the time, he was like, and now this moment, you can improvise. And I'm like, you want me to what? What do you mean improvise? He's like, pick some steps from the piece that you want to just open up and bring forth again. And I'm like, can I do the same improvisation every night? And I ultimately did, but I mean, I chose it kind of, but that was the first time I'd ever been
invited to do that.
Well, required.
Required. Asked. That's right.
Yeah,
required
like led to that. And that was terrifying.
But he trusted you, right? That's the first step. He fully trusted you, I'm sure.
I don't know. But that was like, you taught to think bigger and you challenge yourself and do something you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I was like,
Did you feel that every day with our project, Tyler, in terms of what he was drawing out of you with improvisation or your ideas? How did you feel? That was such a fascinating project. I saw the online version. Yeah. I haven't seen the live version yet.
Yeah.
I hope to someday.
It's so funny when she was talking about improvising. I grew up having to do that at the end of every class.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, I loved it. But then after being in a company for so long, now when someone says improv, I feel like you kind of. I'm like, oh, my God, terrified. I'm like, why am I terrified? I am so used to just, like, doing. But it's just you get so used to a structure. You're like, oh, just tell me what to do kind of thing. So it was fun to come back to that and be pushed in that way again. And also just noticing how I had changed, being not always pushing myself to do something like that or not always asked to do it. Bar Project was, like, probably one of the best times of my life. It was, you know, during COVID when no one could dance. But what was so amazing about it, well, it started by me just reaching out to him. We had met in Paris. I'll never forget this. Justin Peck introduced me to Bill. He said, you both keep talking to me about each other. You guys need to meet. He keeps telling me about your theme and you just keep telling me. So you just need to meet. Mm-hmm. So he set me up and I went to watch Paris Opera rehearsing.
Yeah.
Bill walked me in. I sat in the front and he was like, okay, should we take a photo like a grandpa and, you know, Tyler's selfie if we send it to Justin for, and that was our first meeting. And I said, you know, I really want to come see your piece, but I have Serenade on the program. Mm-hmm. And I said, but it's first. When is your piece? Mm-hmm. So I'll never forget this. I did Serenade, got in a cab with my makeup on, ran to the Garnier. Bill, like, held the curtain for the second piece, grabbed my hand. We ran in, and I got to sit in a box with him and watch the premiere of his piece.
Wow.
It was, like, something I'll never forget in my life.
That's so magic.
Yeah. And that's how Bar Project, we just said we want to work with each other. So during the COVID, I reached out by text, and I said, you know, Bill, we keep trying to. We can't with our schedule.
Yeah.
We have time. It's not ideal. But what do you think? And he was like, well, when would you want to start? And I was like, oh, any time. I didn't think he'd actually. And he was like, tomorrow? And that's how it happened. And what was so nice is there was no structure at all because we weren't in a room with a rep director. We didn't have somebody scheduling our hours. It was
no
literally just
premiere date.
No red tape.
No red tape.
It was just like, let's get in the studio and just have fun. And it was like 4 months of me and him every day just on Zoom together from like 12 until like 4 sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes he'd be like, you know, today let's take off. Okay, good. I'll be with my grandma. That kind of thing. And it was amazing because I felt like I was getting a master class every day on, like, my dancing. Mm-hmm. And then he would say, and you know, when you choreograph, you need to remember this mm-hmm. or this. So I was, like, getting a master class mm-hmm. for choreography, too, without him even, like, meaning to. It was amazing. I'll never forget the process.
But when he came back and did Herman Schmerman, yes. it was a revamp
yeah.
yes.
on you.
And that was yeah. before I yeah. had worked with him, yeah. I will say.
Right.
Yeah. So Herman Schmerman was the first thing I ever sort of did with him
yeah.
after that Paris meeting.
Yeah.
But it was something that already existed.
Right.
And I was taught by Noah. Who,
Gilbert.
Yes. Yeah. And so I had this structure before Bill came in. And he was yeah. just kind of coming in at the very end just to put some finishing touches.
Sure.
And I remember him, like, walking me to the side and being like, you know, why are you doing it like that? And I was like, what do you mean? I was taught the steps were like this, and I'm doing the counts. And he was like, yeah, but you're not, like, dancing like you dance. And I was like, okay, well, I was trying to be real specific and do. And he was like, no, 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 no. And I was like, okay. And he showed me this old video of Tracy. He said, watch this tonight, come in tomorrow, and then let's just kind of see. Put all the different, you have
flavors,
Wendy in
yeah.
your head, you've been taught it by Noah, and now you're going to see Tracy, and then I want to see you do it. And that was what opened it up for me, because then I was like, okay, I need to stop trying to be somebody
yeah.
else,
or be correct,
yeah,
right.
be correct
right.
and just do it
be
like
you.
I wanted to. And then at the end, he totally changed. A lot of the steps I do, Wendy
yeah.
didn't do. It's the version's a little different. And like, the end step is almost my favorite. It's something new he did for me. But he was just like, and then we're going to tap, and then you're going to feel like Beyonce.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
how would Beyonce
yeah.
do it, Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he'd tell everybody that. You know, he had us in a, we were doing, like, a groove section. Everybody, we were just like this with Bill, like, bouncing. And, you know, he had music on. It was so fun.
I remember seeing it when
and
Tyler
like,
did it.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't know what to expect, obviously, because
yeah.
it had been a long time since the company
did,
had
yes.
done it. And it was like this fresh, authentic fruit just pouring out, like everything. And I was like, yes. I was like, absolutely. I was like, this is it. And it was like, because it was her.
Yeah.
You know, it was her and it was
yeah.
hers. And she just, like, owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just, like, really excited by how she did it.
And there's definitely
yeah.
certain parts, though, that helped me, too. Like, when you were talking about exploring, like, the possibilities. You know, having the visual of Wendy, like, etched in my head. Like, you and Albert.
It's like a little structure.
Oh, it
something
was.
To, like,
and it helped me
yeah.
be longer in the way
mm.
I moved. Because, you know, say, my legs are not like her legs. But I could stretch and try
mm-hmm.
to find the image of what I saw almost her do. Which totally changed the way my body looked in a
yeah.
certain move. So it was like taking everything that I had seen from her, from Tracy's
yeah.
video, and then letting it become
yeah.
my own version.
Yeah.
Instead
digesting
of,
it,
yeah, just trying to be something totally different, you know?
Yeah.
And it sounds like the insight into his process is that, not unlike what we've talked about in this podcast many times about balancing, it's like he wanted that dancer right there to
he
inhabit it
dancers.
And change it for that person and make that person come forth
yeah.
as themselves
yeah.
in a new way.
You know, balancing and Robin's authenticity.
Yeah.
They just want you to be you at your finest and at your most expressive and your most intelligent. And, you know, and that's what we see when we see Tyler do this.
Yeah.
So it's like everything. It's New York City Ballet and Forsyth.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
combined.
What do y'all remember from when you finally put Herman Schmerman in either iteration, when it was just the quintet or when you added the pas de deux? What are some of your memories from the performances or discoveries that you made as you danced that particular piece?
Well, for the pas de deux, it was the first time I'd ever danced without tights. And I think in this company, I don't think anybody had ever danced without tights before. Because even when we did the quintet,
the black tights over a black leotard.
Yeah, like
or under?
One of the females was like, I don't want to go bare legs. So we didn't go bare legs. But then I got the pot in and I was like, I really want to go bare legs. And then it was like, you know, everybody
became a new aesthetic.
Became a new thing. But I was like, I could, and I had a musculature that I was like, I want to display my joints and angles and pop that hip that way. And and I felt like I could wear the choreography like clothes with what I had as an instrument as well. So that was another level of just chewing on an idea and playing with
and
a
Bill was
quality.
Always grabbing from contemporary culture. You know, the fact that he invited Versace to do the costumes for Herman Schmerman. I remember it was either just before that or after that, he had asked Versace to design the Agon costumes for his ballet Frankfurt.
Right.
I'm not sure he cleared that, but they were subtle, but they were so... I think Versace was inspired by the Madonna cone. You know, top, and then just so sleek and so sexy. And so, you know, that's just one example, but Versace also did the Herman Schmerman costume, so we felt so contemporary. So, you know, bringing ballet forward. And so when you go out on stage and you feel that current and that relevant and that in the now, that adds to your whole, you know, experience too. I think Behind the China Dogs was inspired by NXS costume, as I remember. You know, that short vest and the biker shorts and bare legs. And it was weird to dance in socks. I think that was the first. We spirit gummed our socks to our shoes because we like, I don't think we could just do it in socks. That would be too radical.
I remember you coming out sliding and I was like, whoa, how do you do look that? How cool
it
Jeff
opened
is.
Up possibilities. Movement possibilities.
Wendy, the quintet wasn't performed at City Ballet for a long time. The quintet happened. Bill added he made this pas de Don Tracy at Frankfurt, was added for you. You performed it. Then for a while, only the pas de Don was performed. But then in 2019, the quintet was restored.
Right.
And then we got the whole ballet again. What did you think seeing a new generation
doing
the quintet
again?
Well,
it was fun. I was like, because I hadn't seen it in forever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I remember that. And the music was so like spunky.
Yeah.
It was very spunky and young and fun. And I remember... He was going to call it Just Ducky. That was the original title, Just Ducky. Remember that?
Vaguely,
And then he changed it to Herman Schmerman. And we were like, where'd you get that idea? And he's like, oh, that's from Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Steve Martin.
Yeah, Steve
Herman
Martin.
Schmerman, Merman. He, like, Steve Martin said that in one part of
the
film.
Yeah.
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to call it Herman Schmerman. And we were like, okay.
Great.
Very cool.
There it is, Herman
Schmerman.
There
you go. Yeah. But it had one title and then it took a turn and went to the next title.
So
probably very late in the game. He was always toy. First, the China Dogs, the paper mache dogs were downstage. Then they were upstage. Like, you know, it was always tweaking things and changing to the very last minute, which kept everyone very alert on their toes.
Yes, I will say for even this go around, he changed about 3 sections for us the day before. And I remember... I'm normally very fast, and I remember calling an extra rehearsal, like
just
with
to solidify
Tyler.
The
I remember
new
I
ideas.
Said, "Meet me down in the vocal, and let's go through all of our changes," because we had our complete on stage, and I was just not quite like I wanted to make sure it was there. And I don't normally have to do that, but it was because it was so
new,
last minute.
Right before.
Yeah, which kept it exciting for sure.
Yeah, the paint was still wet.
Yeah.
Totally.
Jeff, you, after City Ballet, you went on and you danced for Forsythe.
He asked me to stage behind the China Dogs after, I think we were touring in Japan shortly after it premiered. And I got a call in Japan from him saying, can you come to Frankfurt and set this work on our company? And I was like, okay, I've never set a work before. I'm not really sure. And it was a really, it's a big piece. So, who turns that down? So I went to Frankfurt and I worked with his dancers. One of my best friends from a Boston Ballet summer course when we were teenagers, Tony Rizzi, auditioned for 17 companies around the world and got rejected everywhere except from Bill at Frankfurt Ballet. He'd only been taking ballet for 3 years, and Bill asked him, like, how long have you been studying ballet? And Tony said 3 years. He said, if you can accomplish that in 3 years, you have a job. And so he's had this incredible rise under Bill's tutelage. And so I was always connected to Frankfurt through my friend Tony.
Okay.
We dropped him off there for his first season. It was Bill's second season, I think, with the company. And I would go visit. I would see Bill's new work. I would see videos. So I was always very tapped into their culture.
Yeah.
But I ended up going from City Ballet to Zurich Ballet and then to Lyon, where we ended up dancing Second Detail, which is a very classical Forsyth piece too, which I love doing. And I did a two-week teaching seminar at Frankfurt Ballet that Bill headed. He heard that people around the world were teaching the Forsyth technique, and he put it out there. He's like, I don't know what that is. So can we all get together and just hang out for 2 weeks all day every day and talk about how we teach, what we teach, in a very broad way, not just about his vocabulary, but about just how one teaches in general. And he brought in teaching experts from all kinds of different disciplines.
And you're such a great teacher now, Jeff.
It was fabulous. I mean, it was, this is how Bill operates. He thinks about, like, how can I enrich the people I work with and myself and the field? And he thinks in a way that is not stereotypical and, you know, something amazing comes of it. So that was a thrilling opportunity. Wow. And then finally, after 5 years in Europe, I was thinking, I'm not sure whether I want to retire or do one more company stint. So I met with Bill and I said, what do you think? He said, I think you should be a teacher. And it just, that comment resonated me, partly because I respect him so much and partly because I felt that in my bones as well. And so he was absolutely right. I love what I do. And it was the perfect thing at the perfect time.
Wow. And now you are an extraordinary teacher among many, many, many other accomplishments. And what are some of the insights you felt that you gained from your time with Bill, or maybe your ongoing relationship with him, that you feel have informed you or shaped you as a teacher?
It affects me every day. I mean, we all have these amazing influences. Violette Verdi comes into my teaching, and Bill, and Alexei Ratmansky from the time I've worked with him in the studio. But sort of the visceral energy of what Bill asks for, and the possibilities of the body, but also the architecture of the body and how points in space relate to each other. Bill was inspired by the Laban points in space, both in front and back, 9 points in space, and how you can sort of think about line and connection of energy in a way that takes your body to new places. So you're not just doing the ballet. What we've been taught is typical ballet, but you start to think about where it can go within the classical form. Because I think our art form is changing so fast. I don't know if anyone saw NDT recently at City Center, but you see the possibilities. And embedded in all of that work is classical ballet. All those dancers have trained deeply in it. And without that foundation, they would not be able to do what they do, which is a departure, but it's grounded in classical ballet work. So at Juilliard, I have this dream job where I get to work with some of the best talent in the world who are, they're so open and so willing to explore different techniques. And they have Cunningham and Martha Graham and Gaga and anatomy and dance history and Balanchine seminars. We do some Robbins. They get it all. But how they absorb that and make those disciplines speak to each other, even in one ballet class, and make it relevant and make it translatable and not just ballet for ballet's sake, for me, that's an exciting project. And so, yeah, I love what I do, and I feel like it's all been one big continuum.
That's amazing. And Wendy, what are some of the ways that you felt that your work with Bill has now informed your further exploration? It sounds like he opened up so much in your mind and your heart about what you could be and what you could become.
Yeah.
And then as that impacts being an artistic leader.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, I just performed last Saturday night. Two nights ago, I did a premiere. And I'm about to turn 57.
Yes.
And with Francesca Harper. And so it just, like, it's like, continue to break the ceilings, you know, everybody. Come on, let's do it. Let's break the ceilings. Take yourselves out of the limits that you put on yourselves because you think, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. Well, no, it's not. It's like the impossible is possible. And just go for it. It's a go for it thing, you know? And it's that kind of energy of just, you want to say something, say it. You currently live in a democracy. You can say it. You can be it. You can do it. And I feel like that New York City Ballet is, that is who we are and who we want to be and what Balanchine tried to bring. So just really furthering the art form with that in mind.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then for Tyler, I mean, I know Bill is still very much still a mentor and friend and colleague. And how have his lessons and your ongoing dialogue shaped you? And especially now as you're flourishing as a choreographer as well.
Yeah, Bill, I recently he came to my apartment and we just had dinner together, and all we did was talk about ballet and the endless possibilities. And after he left, I literally just said, that would be like having Balanchine in your apartment of today, kind of. In a way, that's how I felt. And I just wished, I was like, I just want to keep this in a little glass bottle and be able to just like rewatch it over and over. Mm-hmm. But he's just been a mentor to me in so many ways. With my first ballet at the company, he said to me, and I'm so tired of everybody just having dancers run from one spot to another. You better make them dance from one spot to the other. And I was like, yes. And it's something I thought about every single day. Mm. So I just love him for pushing me in every form of my life as a dancer, choreographer, the way I think, not being afraid to be a woman and say what I feel. You know, he's very empowering in that way. Mm. And yeah, I can really look to him for guidance. He's very open, and I feel like from what I can hear, he makes all of us feel like we could go to him, you mm-hmm. know? And that's so nice to have somebody in the front of the room that feels so open like that, but can also be this, you know, master.
Exactly.
You know, but you have this major respect for them, but yeah. not in a sense where you don't feel like you can share or collaborate because you're scared in a way. I've never felt that with him, and that
he's
was the
always
same
been
with
that
you,
way, yeah. and he's always transformed himself. So he's a model for change and for rediscovery. Mm. He embodies that. I mean, when I think of Perpetual Student, he's the first person mm-hmm. I think of, because he could just ride on so many laurels along the way, and he refuses to. And he, you know, really, he doesn't guide toward expectations. He'll, somebody, oh, Bill, I wanted you to stick with the ballet thing. And he went off in a totally different direction. Mm-hmm. But then he comes back. You know, he's so unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And it's because he's following his inspiration mm-hmm. and his intense
yeah.
curiosity.
He always follows the muse. Mm-hmm. Who's going to fuel my interest and my creativity and my energy? Who's going to energize me? And it was Jeff.
And it's you.
And he's definitely
and Tyler.
Tyler right now. And it's yeah. exciting to see him feel fed by an artist or a few different group of artists or his past artists when he did his tour with artists that he used to work with more. It was just like, ah, oh, you just feel him being charged yeah. by energies. And he gravitates to them and it's this exchange you have with him. And it's remarkable.
That's why we do what we do,
yeah.
you know, because the redefining of it inspires us and it never seems old or rote. Mm-hmm. It's creative and it's alive.
And it's always current.
That's right.
He wants it always current.
It's so beautiful.
And this season I'm doing it with Roman, who has never done it. And we were, after NDT, we met and got, you know, a little bite. And I said, are you going to come rehearse us? And he was like, well, do you know it? Should we get on a Zoom? Should we do it? And I was like, well, I'm not there yet. You know, I'm coming back. And he doesn't know it yet, you know. But he was like, ooh, we could really jazz some stuff up for you, Roman, you know.
He's we could like, take the choreography somewhere else.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what that's going to turn into, because it's going to be something totally different with a new partner, I'm sure.
So exciting. Well, the process continues mm-hmm. in a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And I thank the three of you, Jeff, Wendy, and Tyler, for sharing your experience and your understanding and your love. Mm. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Silas.
Thanks for having us.
To learn more about William Forsythe, please consult the reading list that can be found in the notes for this podcast episode.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you'll join me again to hear the dance.